Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
How are you, Alan?
Good on knowing yourself.
Yeah, not too bad. Like, I think when we looked at this Rainbow Cup at the start, after there was a little bit of a falling away in terms of the proposed format, and then after the first couple of weeks we thought, well, this is going to be a waste of everybody's time. All of a sudden on Friday you had Connacht lads and Munster lads fighting each other, and all of a sudden this thing feels quite important.
Yeah, it does. I think when we often ask about the bite and the derbies, are they gone? And we've seen evidence that the last few years that they've been all nice, timid affairs. And but Friday night, I think there was a fair bite to that game between Connacht and Munster. Not surprisingly, because obviously there's a number of guys who played with Munster who'd be disappointed that maybe they were let go. Also, Connacht, after getting bullied the week before, I expected a reaction, an aggressive physical reaction, and a desperation, because Munster are a big scalp for them. And to be fair, they were brilliant. I was really impressed with the effort level, the commitment, the desire, all that kind of stuff, and the fight, not to be bullied themselves. So I like Andy Friend. I think he's a brilliant coach. I love his attitude to the way the game should be played. And he's done a great job in difficult circumstances with Connacht since he's taken over, and produced some brilliant performances. Consistency has probably been the key, and maybe staying at that emotional high pitch all the time. But they brought an emotion on Friday night, which unsettled Munster. Surprisingly, I thought Munster they didn't get control. At no stage did they look like they were in control for a long period. I felt that, look, they were going to get themselves back into the game after conceding, particularly the try off the kickoff for Sammy Arnold, bad mistake. And then the Marmion one was another bad mistake by Munster. But Connacht exploited that, and they took their two chances. And those 14 points were significant in the end. Obviously, Connacht won by 4 points, and Munster had two tries chalked off themselves. One of them correctly, the second one, I don't think so. I think the Peter O'Mahony one was pretty clear. Jack O'Donoghue takes out Pat Leahy. That should have been ruled out. The Andrew Conway crossfield kick, I didn't think that was clear and obvious, as the TMO Joy Neville said. I thought Caelan Blade's hand was trying to poach the ball, and that he pulled the ball forward. But it wasn't clear and obvious. But look, aside from that, I think Munster were poor on the night, and give themselves a bit of a mountain to climb now, given that they were, you know, potentially, and they were in control of their destiny. Win the 5 games and they probably would have been playing a final.
I know rugby prides itself on the whole sir and deference to the referee and stuff, and it's mostly it's very good. As sport fans, we don't want to change this in any way. But CJ Sander was having none of that in the post-match. He's like, look, I'm out of here. That referee, well, he stank, essentially. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, lest all the Munster fans get angry. But it was interesting to see somebody openly criticise the refereeing in the aftermath of the game.
Yeah, look, I think I don't want to insult Connacht people, because I'll have a barrage of abuse online if I start. But listen, he was shocking. The referee was absolutely shocking. More shocking for Munster, but shocking enough for Connacht at times as well. I think his whole attitude, decision making, positioning, some of the decisions were terrible, and Munster, rightly so, should feel aggrieved. I watched the game back twice, and I would implore the people who are going to say it's sour grapes or giving out about me saying this, go back and look at the game, take off the, look at it from an impartial point of view, and some of the decisions were really baffling. Munster's discipline was really poor at times. Their accuracy, when they got into good positions, they lost lineouts, they turned the ball over, they knocked the ball on. So they've no one to blame for themselves there, but there was a couple of real kind of crucial decisions. And look, anybody who knows CJ Stander, he's a very honest, open guy. And for him to come out with that, and I've been in that situation myself before, where you go off a field and you're absolutely fuming. It is a tough job. There's lots of interpretations there, but the penalty count was 19-9 and against Munster. they were the team who had most of the possession, particularly for most of the second half. And, they're the ones that got penalised the most. But this will be separated, of course, now. People will take this as a headline. I still think Connacht, for their endeavour, their work rate, their passion, deserved to get what they got at the end, a win, because they just made it so difficult for Munster. And of course, you always have situations where one or two decisions go your way, you can win a game. Look, if the knock-on wasn't given, Munster win the game and Connacht are heartbroken. But Munster had previous with Dan Jones at the start of the year over in Scarlets as well. I think he pinged him off the park. And I genuinely, clear as day, remember watching that game on TV going, this is shocking. This is like, this guy actually doesn't like Munster. The decisions he's making, they're baffling. The penalising at the breakdown.
If Munster have previous with a referee like that, then don't they come forewarned and the second time around?
Yeah, but there's some things you just can't do out in the boat. If he's penalising one side for hindmost foot and he's not penalising the other side, and it's blatantly obvious that he's getting decisions wrong, particularly when Munster are on the attack, I think, what can you do about that? Of course, there were situations where the discipline needed to be better. But there was crucial decisions went against them, and that's why CJ Sanders says it. So, we're sick of bland interviews after matches. We're sick of guys saying the right thing, or the opposition are great and they're a great team. Nobody speaks the truth. Somewhere in the middle would be great, and I think that's what you got from CJ Sanders. So look, that's the way it goes. You get the rub of the green, but. If it was two other teams playing, I think, I just think Dan Jones was poor, really poor, and it's not good enough at this level, And but flip that all over and you let the emotion drop a little bit from CJ Sanders' point of view and probably Munster, they were probably seething, and you look at the mistakes they made. And I think in the review, they'll look back and the referee won't be the dominant factor. It'll be the mistakes they made, the things they did wrong, the accuracy themselves when they had the ball. And then you commend Connacht. Niall Murray was outstanding. Cian Prendergast. These guys are young players who are playing against very experienced provincial players and internationals. And they're the ones that are really stepping up, putting their bodies on the line. Conor Fitzgerald was outstanding at out half as well. Loads of big performances from Connacht. So it seems like it's very unfair, but look, I just think the referee was really poor, and people can say what they like, that I'm saying it biasly or not. You look back at the game, watch it again. There's some very bad decisions, and that'll be brought up in the review when his match is reviewed in the next day or so. Those points will be highlighted, but unfortunately, it's just too late again. So it is what it is. Munster have to try and beat Cardiff and away to Zebre and hope that somebody beats Benetton. Benetton have maybe Connacht can do them a favour when they play Benetton. They go to play them over there next, and then Benetton are away to Ospreys. So. With all due respect,
we've been talking about this, how important it would be for Munster to win something. And now that the fact that there is going to be a final against the South African side, that would suddenly imbue the competition with an event and a trophy. And as soon as the news came through that there was going to be one of those big occasions, a big final, Munster have fluffed their lines, albeit, as you say, with the difficulty of the referee that they had the other night. All of a sudden, is this a competition that they really want to win again?
It's not the referee isn't the defining factor, but he was an issue. Let's get that straight. I'm not sure. At the end of the day, that was an issue. They have issues themselves that they crept back into some bad habits again, inaccuracies, lack of ruthlessness when they were close to the line. There was a Dennis Buckley turnover in the second half that, my God, it was... I was the king of offside, and I would have been loving to be in that situation, but... Look, ultimately, they'll look at themselves and realise that they didn't manage the game well, and They gave away two very, very poor soft tries of their own making. Shane Daly, the first one, he comes in too close to the pod that's been lifted from the kickoff after scoring. And then Craig Casey gives a loose pass. Ball is hacked through and Kieran Marmion scores. So Leinster not getting the bonus points. They got a lifeline by that result. And unfortunately, they didn't get the bonus point for themselves. And Munster is still a point ahead of them. So when you look at the table, Benetton are 14, Munster 10, Ospreys 10, Glasgow 10, Leinster 9. So there is a few things that can happen in the last two games. But I think overall it'll be frustrating for Munster. And ultimately, this one could cost them a lot because they do need to win a trophy, as you said. And with all due respect to Benetton, if they get on and get a final, and it looks like it's the Bulls they'll be playing. The Bulls are on 13, Sharks are on 10. It's either Sharks or Bulls. But I think Bulls are in control. The Bulls are in control of that. That would, you know, would it take away from the competition? Or would you say that Benetton deserved to be there? In fairness to Benetton, they had a brilliant win in round one and they beat Glasgow convincingly. Then they played a back-to-back games with Zebra, two tight games. They win that. They win both of those. So it'll be interesting the next few weeks. But I think the organisers would prefer maybe a Munster, an Ospreys, a Glasgow or a Leinster to be in that final. But maybe that I'll give a little bit of motivation to Benetton there to continue on and win their five games and play the Bulls in the final.
We'll tweet at Benetton Rugby just to make sure. I'll be like you
saying Wales are useless before the start of the championship. So
no idea what you're talking about.
We are correct. We're correct. I wanted to ask about Caelan Doris returning to action because from a Leinster perspective and from an Ireland perspective, actually seeing him back out there, you know, there'd been injuries separate to the concussion that had kept him out of matches recently. But until you actually see him back out there and carrying into contact and offloading and doing all the stuff that we associate with Caelan Doris, it's just this little concern that you haven't seen it for such a long time. It's a huge moment for him and a huge moment really for Irish rugby into the future.
Yeah, he's a class player. I think his tackle count was up in the 20s and a number of turnovers, carries, loads of involvements there. But he came up against a side that similar situation to Connacht, emotion through the roof, backs to the wall, Dan McFarlane looking for a reaction. I thought Ulster were superb. They lacked a little bit of the killer punch in the end for all the good they did, particularly in that first half. But Doris had some big moments in the game. It's great to see him back because I think if he gets a couple of games in the next few weeks, he could put himself back in contention to be brought to South Africa if there's an injury. I think he's a wonderful player and with a real natural feel for the game and a rugby intelligence that, as you say, it was great to see him back out there, showing he's the full box of tricks. And I think, it's unfair sometimes to expect too much of certain players when they're out for a period of time, but he's a very, very important player for Leinster going forward and for Ireland.
Like when you think about that Ireland back row that's almost been missing for a period of time, we probably had arrived at a situation, or we will hopefully arrive at a situation where Caelan Doris and Dan Levy are the two best players in their position, and the way in which Ireland play and the way in which Leinster play as well, those two absences for such a prolonged period of time can only have had a seismic impact on the fortunes on the pitch.
Yeah, I think, but the players that have come in have stepped up. I think, look at Jack Conan, where he was 6-8 months ago, injured. Talk of him struggling to get on in Leinster. The whole narrative had changed around him, and now he's going on a Lions tour. So things can change pretty quickly. But, Doris is a class player. I think that'll be the challenge for Leinster and a great place for them. They have a British and Irish line and an Irish international, two number eights. Max Deegan is out injured, a brilliant player as well. So much depth there that we speak about a lot. And so to have him back, Doris playing, performing at that level, and it can only be good news for Andy Farrell and for Leo Cullen. But things can change very, very quickly, I think. For me, I just... I would get really excited to see Gavin Coombs involved, Caelan Doris, Jack Cronin, these kind of players. But Coombs and Doris, I think having the two of them on the same team or being involved with Ireland would be very exciting for the future of the back row and the next generation of guys who are going to maybe take the mantle from the traditional numbers that we see in Stander and O'Mahony in the last number of years. They'll argue that, well, Stander's gone, CJ Stander's gone. Peter O'Mahony will still battle to try and get back in there. There's no reason why he can't and be in the mix. But I think Coombs and Doris would excite me to have them in an Ireland back row.
And look, that's one of the reasons why the tour to Fiji being off is really disappointing. I mean, obviously, we know why it's off, and that's far more important than the sport itself. But actually, those players going on tour, bedding in together, just having that opportunity with the coaching ticket, that's a real pity. I did want to ask one thing about the Champions Cup final. So obviously next week it's Toulouse against La Rochelle. La Rochelle had a pretty easy win at the weekend in build-up for this. It's 1-2 in the top 14, and it's the finalists in the European Champions Cup. It's a real indicator of where the power in club rugby in Europe is at the moment, and geez, it should be some spectacle.
Yeah, it's a hard one to call. People have asked me, will you know, obviously my connection with Rog and will La Rochelle do it? I don't know. Toulouse are, you know, a very, very dangerous side, a powerful side who can play some incredible rugby, and you know, they're the ones with all the experience of being here before on many occasions, winning trophies. And that's a lot of that stuff is new to La Rochelle, but the confidence they can take out of beating Leinster and probably the manner of that second half performance will give them huge confidence. It's how they manage and control the game. Sometimes we see finals, Ger, that aren't the classics. They're cagey affairs. It'll be interesting to see how both teams approach it, but it'll be physical. And La Rochelle are a very physical side. Toulouse have big men as well. So you know, Toulouse are probably going to be favourites given, you know, where they're at and their history and in this competition, their success and their ability to win finals, win the French top 14, all that kind of stuff. But it there's a real intrigue to this, and it should be, I suppose, saying it's going to be a classic is contradicting what I'm saying. I don't know. It could be. I hope it is. I hope both teams attack each other because there's so many attacking threats throughout both sides. But you know, you say this and all the time when you play Toulouse, when you play France, Dupont, Intermac, if they get an easy ride from their forwards, they can be devastating. So I'm sure Rog will be trying to, and John O'Gibbs will be trying to put pressure on them and really go after Toulouse up front. But two heavyweights, hard to separate them, and they're the dominant forces at the moment.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.